This recording, France 17, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. All right, so I was born in Grenoble, and I lived in Ducey, not too far from Grenoble, near the Alps for like 5 years. And it was a little village. I don't remember too much from it, except that it was very snowy. We lived across from a church. And we had some cats. Yeah. and then we moved to Grenoble, where I was born, and lived in a big apartment. I went to this elementary school that was just a couple blocks from the apartment. So I used to walk there myself as like a first grader. And it was very nice from what I remember. Like, very pretty, old architecture, but with, like, a modern kind of train moving around the city. There's, like, a nice candy store we would go to on the way to school. What else? Oh, yeah, there's, like, a nice little, like, garden right in front of our apartment that had, like, these chestnut trees everywhere. Like the spiky kind, you know, they'll like fall off and be everywhere. And then I moved to Nice where it was all the way down south, and there it was a lot sunnier. We went to the beach a lot, friends with a bunch of kids. We would hang out at the Virgin store and play Xbox there. And we go to a public library and play on the computers a lot. And watch VHS movies. And, eat a lot of fresh baguettes and stuff like that. C'était une de ces matinées torrides de juillet qui ne manquent pas de charme si on les passe en slip sur la plage. Avec une jolie blonde, mais qui sont crevantes quand on est bouclé dans un bureau, ce qui était mon cas. Le bruit des voitures sur Orchid Boulevard, le ronronnement d'un avion au-dessus de la plage et le murmure étouffé des vagues pénétraient par la fenêtre ouverte.